بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still in the chapter that deals with Eid, and hadith number 143 was narrated by Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that on the day of Nahr, on the day of sacrifice, that is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered the prayer and delivered the khutbah and then slaughtered the sacrifice and said, anybody who slaughtered his sacrifice before the Eid prayer should slaughter another animal in place of it, and the one who has not yet slaughtered should slaughter mentioning Allah's name on it. Again, this hadith is similar to the previous hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, but here it is something extra. In hadith of Bara ibn Azib, the Prophet ﷺ said, after you pray, you slaughter. But here he prayed, then offered the khutbah, then slaughtered. And that is why some of the scholars said that it is essential that you do not slaughter except after the khutbah. However, other scholars said that you can slaughter after the prayer, because this is what the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib clearly states. And to be on the safe side, it's only a matter of half an hour, approximately even less. Therefore, it is highly recommended that you do not slaughter except after the conclusion, after the end of the khutbah of Al-Eid. Now, a lot of the non-Muslims consider slaughtering to be a barbaric act. And we as Muslims do not care about what they think. We know that this religion is from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It's from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah the Almighty knows what is best to His servants. And we also know that medical reports clearly state that when an animal is slaughtered, all the blood that contains the bacteria and the microbes and all means of illnesses and diseases, when the animal is slaughtered, the body is dried from the majority of this blood, and hence maintains the meat to be more tender, more delicious, and above all, healthier. And that is why Islam recommends us to slaughter. Not only recommends us, we cannot eat any animal that it is not slaughtered. Unless, of course, it is hunted. And this, there are different set of rules for a hunted animal. But other than animals to be slaughtered, we are not allowed to eat them. Maybe they would say, we stun an animal. We hit the animal on the head until it dies. We suffocate an animal. We electrocute an animal until it dies, and then we slaughter it. Well, if you do this, you will find that the blood that comes out is negligible compared to the blood that comes out when you slaughter. And besides, this is inhumane. The amount of pain and suffering that the animal gets is far less when the animal is being slaughtered. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah the Almighty has mandated to be kind on everything. And therefore, if you slaughter, be kind when you slaughter. And you must sharpen your knife, your blade, and you must lay your slaughtered animal to rest quickly. All of this is a type of Islamic etiquette to those who claim that we are barbaric. In Islam, it is forbidden for you to slaughter a sheep or an animal in front of other animals. Do you know that? You cannot slaughter a sheep while other sheep are looking in Islam. Look at those who have slaughterhouses in the non-Muslim countries. they slaughter the hundreds and the thousands while they're looking at each other. This is inhumane. And therefore, we could care less about what people say about us. Because we are Muslims, we've submitted our will to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we are complying to His teachings, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We have hadith number 144. This hadith is a long one, and we'd like someone to read it for us. Yes, Arshi.
Jabir ibn Abdullah reported, I observed prayer with Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Eid day. He commenced with the prayer before the khutbah, without adhan and without ihkama. He then stood up leaning on Bilal and he commanded them to have taqwa, consciousness of Allah, and he exhorted them on obedience to him. And he preached to the people and admonished them. He then walked on until he came to the women and preached to them and said, O women, give charity, for you will be most of the fuel for the fire. A woman having a dark spot on her cheek stood up and said, Why is it so, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, For you complain too much and show ingratitude to your spouse. And then they begin to give charity out of their ornaments, such as their earrings and rings, which they threw on the cloth of Bilal. Bukhari and Muslim.
Jazakallah khair. In this hadith, we learn that it is not part of the sunnah to have an adhan or an iqamah for Eid. And hence, it is not permissible to call people for Eid by saying as-salatu jami'ah or salatu al-Eidi athabakumullah, as being done in some places, because all of this is considered to be innovation. The Prophet didn't do it, alayhi salatu wasalam, so how dare you do something that the Prophet did not do. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's khutbah and sermon of Eid would consist of preaching the people, reminding them of Allah Azza wa Jal, and drawing them closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. After that, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would go to the women and address them specifically, rather than addressing them with the men, because he have already addressed the men and the women. But then he goes specifically for the women, and he would remind them of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as you heard in the hadith, he told them that you must pay charity, because the majority of you would be the fuel, wood of fire. And the women, may Allah be pleased with them, the companions, one of them stood up and said, okay, this is not normal. We do not disbelieve in Allah. So why is it so? And she stood up and said, why is that, O Prophet of Allah? Now, you've told us about the punishment. Can you kindly tell us about the sin? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that you complain a lot, and you're not grateful, and you do not show gratitude to your spouse. So these are two reasons for women to be thrown into hell. And one would maybe object and say, okay, isn't this also found in men? Don't we have men who complain a lot? Don't we have men who are ungrateful to their wives? The answer is yes, definitely we do. However, the responsibilities of women are far less than the responsibilities of men. Men are obliged to be the bread earner. They're obliged to go out and work. They're obliged to pray in the masjid 5 times a day. They're obliged to do jihad when it is required and requested. They're obliged to attend so many things, not like the women. Women, as in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if a woman fasts her month, that is Ramadan, and prays her prayer, that is the 5 daily prayers, and protects her chastity, she does not fornicate, she does not flirt or go fool around. And she obeys her husband. Four things. What would happen? The Prophet says she will enter Allah's paradise. Now this is a great reward for what? For only four simple things. So we men believe. Though if you put yourself in the women's shoes, obeying the husband is not an easy task. It is an enormous responsibility, especially if the husband is not someone you would love to obey. If the husband is arrogant, if the husband is ignorant, if he's ugly, if he stinks, if his mouth smell is awful, if your in-laws are bad, this makes life more and more difficult. But yet, the responsibilities are less. A woman sits home, she's the queen of the house, everything comes to her on her request. So if she complains, this means that she is not grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal, nor she is grateful to her husband. We have a short break, and inshallah, we'll be right back.